SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBick.com. It is just, exquisite, crisp fall day here in beautiful upstate New York. And how about a little self-indulgent commentary for a minute. It is the eighth anniversary of my and Tina's marriage, and we went away this weekend, as we do every 2 years, it seems. Every other year, we go up to the Thousand Islands, where we were married. Bolt Castle, Hart Island, just out in the bay there, out in the, kind of that wide area away from Alexandria Bay. And it's funny, we've come to, rather than stay at Alex Bay, we've been staying in Clayton more and more the last few times we've gone up. And, having never been married up until Tina, I really hadn't realized or, anticipated how, how special it is when you go, back to where you were married. And we just love going up there. It's, that's the first place that we had our first meal as husband and wife there. And this, you had your first breakfast the morning after you were married over there. And it's just so funny. And it's really an amazing, the Bolt Castle concept and what the story behind it is. I've mentioned it before. It's just unbelievable. And, the construction, George Bolt, and building this vacation paradise. Basically, like the Hearst Castle to some extent, and not to some extent. Very similar, and literally weeks before its completion, the wife up and died, and they ceased construction, and just left it there. It's remarkable. And then it, for years and years, it was in disrepair and open to vandals, landing on the island and just marauding it. And then the state of New York, the Seaway Commission or whatever it is, took it over. And it's constantly being, it's a very slow and involved renovation of, and they're doing all kinds of projects. So every time we go now, it's 8 years and we've been three times since, there's always something improving and something being worked on. Just, I can't recommend the whole region enough. The New York, there's so much between literally from the North Country, down the Seaway, the Western, everywhere you go. Tina and I discovered on the way back from Breeders' Cup last year, I'd never really noticed the Southern Tier in Jamestown and the lake down there, Chautauqua, and I want to go there. It looks unbelievable. So we had a wonderful, got there Friday night, and we stay at the St. Lawrence Distillery for the first time. And they got some rooms upstairs in it's another chateau kind of a thing that was reclaimed and renovated. It just, the food is spectacular, and I, you know, I don't drink, but Tina does for both of us. And we had a fabulous dinner Friday night, and Saturday we went out to the island, and then in Clayton there was an antique car show, and we just had a wonderful time. And then even Sunday coming back, we swung down through towards Syracuse and went to Cazenovia, and where Zachary and Andrew were married this summer, and we hiked down Chittenango Falls, which I'd never done. I've known about it for 40 years and have been by it and see it from the road. And this is the first time you hike down into a gorge. And it's a little treacherous, too, going down. And I'm not exactly, you know, Hammer. When Hammer comes back next summer for his tours, he wants to go. He saw the pictures. He wants to go to Thousand Islands, and the Reeves, Patty Reeves, says she wants to go to Thousand Islands now. Didn't really know it existed, but we hiked down to the bottom to Chittenango Falls, and then up and over, and it's gorgeous. Just really, really a wonderful anniversary weekend. Because of course today's the day, Tuesday on the calendar, and the way we even got married. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but so this way you can tell Tina that, you know, Steve spoke lovingly about his life being completely overhauled and changed by meeting her at the racetrack. we met it. For those of you that are fairly new listeners and don't know all the backstory, the rest of you heard this, but you know, I was working at the barbecue, and we had the Carolina barbecue at Saratoga and at Triple Crown events and Breeders' Cups, et cetera. And Tina was in the pavilion punching tickets, a school teacher. A lot of school teachers work at the track, work at Saratoga. And they used to bet with her, and that's how we met. So it's another racetrack romance. It's a classic. It's one of those stories. But when we went and did this, when we went and got married 8 years ago, she had seen that there was a wine festival. And I had Paul Barone, Gary Siaka's longtime assistant, Paul's got a friend that has a bed and breakfast up on the river. And he's the one even put it in my head to go. I'd been through the Thousand Islands a million times, but I'd never stopped there. And when I was working out of Montreal, I used to pass through there all the time. And I went to the Picton Islands, actually, which is on the Ontario side. Had a meat manufacturer, meat packer, in the Picton Islands. But you know, I was inspired to go for the two of us. And so she saw this, she was looking at it, and she found this wine festival. And so we were going to go. And it just so happened that Saturday was September 17th, which is my late mother's birthday. And, you know, she and I were planning our, you know, getting married. And we were going to do it elopement style, but more or less. But she had the idea. I'd always wanted to get married on my parents' anniversary, which is Christmas Eve, which I always thought was the coolest anniversary and wedding date. But she said, why don't we get married on the Thousand Islands on your mother's birthday? It'll be a great, you know, memorial to her. Said, all right, that's a deal. So we got a justice of the peace and said, you know, we're going to be on Bolt Castle. We'll be on the island. She said, I've got a wedding there at myself at 4:30. I'm officiating. You want to do it at 3:30. So literally four days before we went on this trip, after Saratoga was over, and to go see this, you know, to go to this wine festival. There's a big wine producing up there, up on the northern tier, the North Country. And that was it. So we decided. So we didn't tell anybody. And we got married, and then we started calling people later that evening after we got back from the island. It's been about as wonderful a portion of my life as I could possibly have. So thanks, and Thanks for having me, honey. We have a lot of fun. The two of us enjoy each other's company immensely. So there you go. I had to get this in. I was compelled. And to my mother, she'd be 88 today, and we continue to miss her every day. She loved the racetrack. My mother. I've told you this before. She loved the racetrack. And her father introduced me to the racetrack. But yeah, okay. You want one? My mother at the racetrack. Travers Day. This has got to be Travers Day. Probably about 2005. I'd say, 2005, give or take. And, I had the table off to the side of the barbecue. And so we had a big group of people hanging out, and including Bobby Frankel. So Frankel would come all the time, and would make Bobby lunch. And my mother's there with I don't know what compelled my parents to come Travers Day, but they did. And my mother's sitting there, and everybody's handicapping, looking, and they're looking at the race. And my mother, who's sitting next to Frankel, outs with, "Ooh, Bobby Frankel's got two horses in this race." And my friend, who's sitting next to my mother, says, "You're sitting next to him, Mrs. Beck." And she looks at Bobby, who was big. And Bobby was a big man. And she looked up at him, and she goes, "Really?" And Bobby looks down and says, "Yeah." And I'll treasure that. That's and I'm sorry I don't have a picture. I wish it was. I don't think I had a camera phone at the time. I think I had a crappy flip phone, maybe. And I'd love to have had a picture of her with Bobby. Now she's gone. She was gone 10 years. My mother's been gone. All right, enough. You understand. You're in that nostalgic mood, the whole thing. You know, it's your anniversary, et cetera, et cetera. In the meantime, we got a very busy day that I'm frittering away, 10 minutes to start the show. As I said to Andy Watts, in fact, Andy will be on with us at 10. It does have my name on it, so I get to indulge here and there. The race last night, and we will talk to Dick Powell, so I won't put too much into it because we'll talk about it with Dick. But you, Robertson, congratulations to him. This hotshot Anna, I mean, she just—it was an as she pleased victory, 6-5, and just. I couldn't have won easier. Super, super impressive. Hotshot Anna. 2 years in a row. Talk Verve to me, as we had talked with Doug, she ran very well. And the Tapita certainly didn't hold her back. Jose Ortiz coming to town to ride and really had no answer when Hotshot Anna just cruised up under Gallardo and won. How about the longest shot on the board running a mammoth race? The Colt's Neck, the Santulli horse, George Duarte. Misericordia. Under Julian Toledo. Third at 63-1. Didn't do a whole lot for the try, though, because a little bit. Got it up to $87. $87.30 for a buck. And it boosted the try because Regal Chant, Tim Ham's horse. Got to get a hold of Tim Ham. Tim Ham, who hung in Ohio and kept breeding Ohio breds and saw things through well before there was even any hope that gaming would come to Ohio. And he does a very good job. And is, he's got Windstar partnered up on a lot of horses. And I think I saw Three Chimneys, too. He's got some horses with. Late Night Powwow really didn't take to the Tapita. That didn't really work for her. So, Hotshot Anna moves on. The Trap Shot 5-year-old, she's now, the record is gaudy at this point. 850,000, and she's won 10 of 22 starts. Tremendous. I'm a fan. I'm delighted for you, Robertson, who had a little health scare over the summer. We'll talk about the Pennsylvania Derby situation. A very strange. Marcus Zaletta, they supplemented a maiden who's run for and was claimed for 40. I supplemented this Shanghai Superfly. I don't get it. I mean, a horse that would have to improve 20 lengths to be competitive in the Pennsylvania Derby. I don't get it. Math Wizard for Safi Joseph. Improbable. The Maiden, War of Will, Spun to Run, coming out of the Smarty Jones. Mr. Money and Maximum Security. A terrific group of six. And then this Maiden, who has no business being in here. And the racing secretary could have denied entry. It's right in the conditions. The Cotillion, 11 will line up. And Guarana, I don't know how they beat Guarana. Going to be interesting to see what she goes off. Let's take a break. Gail Cox is going to join us first. Busy day. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horseshoes.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horseshoes.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horseshoes.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horseshoes.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and catch the sun on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
When I said it out loud, it wasn't as strong as it was in my head. I tried not to think about it, so it came back louder. I think it's been about a year since I became a snob. Decided not to play along, so it grew bigger. Me and my head have become very, very, very close. We decided not.
We're back at the races. It's 20 minutes into hour one on this Tuesday. And yesterday, I kept hinting that we were hoping to talk and looking forward to talking to Gail Cox, who we hadn't talked to in too long. And one of the reasons we didn't get her yesterday was because I was using her old phone number. And I had to turn to Tom Patton, Rico Da Silva's longtime agent. And luckily, I got the right number. I'm sure I annoyed somebody, Gail, that had the old number. They must have gotten a bunch of texts for anybody that hadn't hadn't gotten the new number.
It is hard when you change cell numbers.
Well, and of course, you know, being a horseman, I think yesterday I probably texted at like 5:45, you know, figuring, you know, you were up.
Did you get a nasty text back?
Actually, no. Sometimes when I encounter this circumstance, I will get they're aware sometimes that it was a former trainer or somebody from the business, and they'll say, "Oh no, I've got the number now. They've got a new number. I don't have it." I haven't received that, but anyway, it's
okay.
It's so good to talk to you, and what a incredible circumstance Saturday Woodbine Mile.
It was. I mean, it was very exciting, and he's just such a nice horse. You know. Great to do it for Sampson Farms because they've been in the business for so long.
Absolutely, and you know, there's elements of this that are fascinating in a lot of ways. Your first grade one, we'll talk about that, but you talk about Sampson, and you know, here was Rico Da Silva, who is going to retire. He's determined to retire in December, and it seems premature, but he's never won this race, so you could see how excited he was.
He was, and we were all surprised by the going to retire part. I think he'll come back, but he says no, we'll see. But he did tell me that was the only stake he hadn't won at Woodbine.
Exactly, and so, if in fact he you know, goes and retires, he wants to spend time, you know, with the family, and it's a very personal story, but you could just tell what this meant to him. And you know, the one thing about this, Gail, that's so hard whenever Sampson wins a big race, you just think about Tammy and what it would, you know, that she's missing from those moments terribly.
Yes, you really do. And Tammy's son Michael is very involved, which is nice. He loves the horses. He's at the track almost every day in the mornings. And he gets to watch the works, the training, the whole lead up. So he was, I think, a part of Tammy was there with him.
Nice. And, you know, Sampson, as important as any name in you know, Canadian, not just Canadian, North American, shouldn't limit it to North American racing. And of course, Da Silva's won a lot of big races for Sampson, and a lot of them with Mark Frostad, of course. Talk about this horse, because in retrospect, so many people realized, Gail, that he should never have been 45-1. That was crazy. He's had a lot of bad luck leading into this race, and everybody kind of realized that afterward.
Yes, I agree. He never should have been those odds. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, my horse got in trouble, and it's a little bit of an excuse. But truly, if you had watched his three previous races, he really had bad trips. Like, he really had unlucky trips, and the horse came running anyways at the end. I mean, he's run remarkably well every single time with bad luck. So I think he belonged in this race. Each race, he looked like he would go a little bit farther and wasn't just a sprinter. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but with maturity, he seemed he'd go farther. I didn't think he belonged at those odds, but I did think he belonged in the race.
No doubt. And, I mean, ever since the Connaught Cup, and I guess all you had to really do was go back, and this was one of those races where trip handicapping and watching, you know, replay after replay, it was the way to say, you know, if he gets a decent trip. And of course, they're not to take away from Hernandez or Louis Contreras or anybody else, but you know, there was the element of Da Silva getting aboard as well.
Yes, I mean, I think the other trips were bad luck. Lafayette was committed to another horse before we made the decision for the mile. And Eurico rode him with a lot of confidence. He got to breeze him once before the race. It was just a maintenance breeze. But you could tell he's just such a nice horse. And he actually went into the race pretty confident.
It seemed so, you know, afterward, when he was being interviewed coming back. You could tell that he had, you know, he'd felt like it was a circumstance. It was sort of a serendipitous series of events. Talk a little bit about his development, because it took him three starts to break his maiden. And you can just tell looking at his record, you know, going back to his 2-year-old year, he's a Stormy Atlantic, another grade one winner for Hillendale. And, you know, the really a venerable, underappreciated stallion. And it looks like he just is getting better with every passing start.
Yes, I agree. He was hurt as a 2-year-old. As a 3-year-old, he had a different running style. He definitely wanted to be on the lead and really had a lot of speed. He went to the farm at the end of his 3-year-old year just for a break, and he was gelded there and probably helped him to settle a little bit, although he's always been nice to deal with. You know, we've had no problem with it. But he's a big, good-looking horse. He's you know, great in his stall. He eats well. He's really a lovely horse to train. And when he came back, he came to me this winter at Payson Park and trained there for a little while. And, you know, it's a wonderful place to train, and horses seem to settle there. He went to Keeneland and got to have a race there and handled everything. And Keeneland has the crowds in April, and horses need to deal with that. He wound up running on quite soft turf and sprinting, but made a run anyways, and he just seemed to have developed. He likes to settle in behind and make a run.
Well, when he was produced, you could see that he was going to make a serious run, and comes through and basically got Stormy. I mean, not that got Stormy didn't run well, but she was second best, pure and simple, and nothing else to say.
Yes, I mean, such a nice filly, and she just was second best that day. I mean, I have a ton of respect for her, and she's run amazing previous races. So, I mean, she was definitely the one to fear. I mean, I must say, at the draw when we drew the one hole, I wasn't so happy. And Eurico said, don't worry. So, you know, I think that part of the track was pretty good, sort of the three lanes, four lanes. It had been saved all week. And both horses were sort of in the right position. He just ran on, and really it was impressive.
Career best figure too for him, a 101. And if in fact, you know, he continues to go forward, there's no reason for him not to be a serious player at Santa Anita. I mean, Gail, put it in perspective for you. And, you know, I think the last, probably something extra was the last time we talked. But, you know, talk about how, you know, this, you know, getting a grade one like this feels for you.
Oh, for me, it's everything, you know, hugely exciting. And it is a win and you're in. And I think the Breeders' Cup is the very biggest thing in horse racing. So, you know, definitely we're going to consider it. I think bonus in his favor is I believe he traveled very well. He shipped around and he seems to deal with everything. And that's pretty important when you're flying them there. He's come out of this race well, and we haven't trained back yet, but we'll have to do that and everybody will talk about it. It's exciting. It's made the year.
Oh, undoubtedly. And, you know, you'd won your share of stakes and over the years and grade twos and threes, but your first grade one. The question that'll start getting asked will be the two turns, that element. I mean, you're going to certainly get a firm turf. That you don't have to worry about. But what's your thought about him going two turns and that kind of a spot being the first, you know, the first opportunity to do it?
Yeah, different configuration of the track. I think generally in races like that, there is some speed in it. And I don't think it will matter to him. I think, again, a lot of times it's you need to have a good trip. But I don't think he'd mind going the two turns. I mean, I know our track at Woodbine is different. We're the only ones with the big, huge one turn. But I think he'd fit right in.
Well, I'm trying to think. When something extra went, because I know he ran in a turf sprint, was that down the hill? Did he go to Santa Anita?
He went to Santa Anita. It actually poured rain the day before. And, you know, it never rains there. But he's one that didn't love the softer going. And he didn't cross that Marshall all that well, you know, the dirt strip.
Right.
It was credible, but that was it. But he, you know, he did go to Santa Anita, and we got used to the, from Canada, you can't fly direct. You have to ship to New York or Churchill or, you know, Kentucky and fly out of there. So I sort of know about that now.
Interesting.
And I think it's doable if we decide that's what we'd like to do with him.
Well, and there'll certainly be a handful of horses coming out of Woodbine that you know, to ship with, right? I mean, that because I think got Stormy's going to come out of will be coming out of there.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll keep her at Woodbine or if she'll. Go to Kentucky because Mark has outfits everywhere.
Sure, or Belmont. That's true.
Yeah.
Got plenty of options.
It's easy enough. We all seem to decide on our own day and own route, and I think we'd probably ship to Churchill, spend the night, and fly out. I would think.
Well, you know, you certainly you've had your those two trips to the Breeders' Cups, so you know the lay of the land for the opportunity, and it's just a great story all the way around. Gail, it's just tickled that you know, the way this all came together.
Yeah, I mean, I think with him being the huge odds, it people were even more exciting, probably because some people bet him. But
We know plenty of people that bet them, including Woodbine player and character Tommy Massis, who loved him on Saturday.
Yes. No, I'm just hoping that that it goes on from here. And I mean, he's just, like I said, he's such a nice horse.
That's unbelievable. And you know, for Da Silva, it, considering you know, the retirement, December 15th, Tom Patton told me, you know, that'll be it. For him, a chance to do something in a big in a Breeders' Cup. He had Fatal Bullet a few years ago for Reed Baker and was mm-hmm. second in the Breeders' Cup sprint going back 10-plus years. But I'm sure he would love a one last crack at a Breeders' Cup win.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. Yeah, that's, I guess, all yet to be decided.
Well, Gail, what else? You know, you get, you know, you get your share of horses from Sam's Son. You know, you've had that steady, you know, sort of that steady business approach for, you know, for a number of years. Talk about where you are and what, you know, what it means to you at this point.
Well, for me, I think they're wonderful to train for, and I have probably 20 horses, not all for Sampson, but I sort of like keeping that number because I'm still very hands-on with the training. I still gallop one that I just really like and
nice
get on the pony. And, you know, I like keeping the smaller barn, having Sampson, and I have other quality owners, and that's a really nice way to be. And it's exciting to have good horses in the barn. You know, I have a couple others for them, and I have a two-year-old of my own that's starting in a couple of weeks. And I mean, having quality horses, it's very exciting to come into the barn. I know when Something Extra was retired, there was a big hole because he was a character also, but you miss horses like him. You know, I think when you have a big stake horse, the whole barn comes alive.
Very much, very much. It keeps, you know, keeps everybody, you know, when you have a stake horse or a horse that is pointing toward a big spot, you know, it gives everybody, you know, keeps everybody motivated. And then a win like this, this becomes your best year. And, you know, considering that what you've been training 12, 14 years.
I think so, something like that.
You've helmed two millionaires. You've had two millionaires already in your career.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really thought about it, but I have been lucky to have some nice horses. I like getting young ones, you know, developing. It's probably my favorite thing to do.
Well, you've had... you know, obviously, when you see anybody that, you know, kind of looks in and delves into the record, you know, can see that a good horse that you'll get the most out of a good horse. And in fact, Something Extra was a horse that you picked out, if I recall.
Yes, bought him at Keeneland, where I am right now buying babies.
Well, exactly, and of course, yesterday Book 3 wrapped up, and you might be okay if you put like one of those name tags on Gail and said, you know, hi, my name is Gail Cox.
Yeah.
so that, you know, if anybody wants to walk around with you and pick out some horses that they might get a little following.
it helps. I actually bought one yesterday, and
nice.
It will be in a little partnership about a Munnings filly. But, I would say everybody here is really excited for me, too. You know, you make a lot of connections over the years, and it's nice. It's really nice. I got calls from all over.
I can imagine, and we could just see how much it meant to everybody involved, the Samuels and Rick Samuels and the family and everybody at Sampson and Rico Da Silva and yourself. And I just pulled up your filly, hip number 1835, a Munnings filly out of a Candy Ride mare, and 50,000.
She's beautiful, but I really think I thought she was going to go for more, to be honest. Beautiful filly, and her full sister won at Woodbine already.
Well, and this is the family of Storm Beauty. This is a terrific female family.
Yeah. I'm excited about her.
That she's a girl. Well,
yeah, she's in Florida already, getting turned out. And then she'll be broke there.
Who do you send horses to for development?
I send them to Paul Sharp. Usually he breaks them and gets them going, and then they come over to Payson Park to me in end of December.
Are you staying at you're gonna stay at Payson? I understand some of the residents aren't happy with some of the announced change.
Well, it has gotten quite expensive now. The rate has been up quite a bit, and it's under discussion with my owners. I mean, it is their choice. I love it there. I think it's a wonderful place for horses. Great track to train on, close enough to run. I don't run a lot in the winter, but I do run some. So we're all talking about it. It's on everybody's mind.
Exactly, and it's a story. It's a story that's going to get a lot of attention as outfits go from fall to winter. And you know, it's been sort of, there've been some of the murmurs, and you know, essentially, it's kind of being converted toward a fair hill. That ultimately, you know, that seems to be the template for what Peter Brand has in mind.
It does. It's just that none of us stay there in the summer.
Right. So buying a barn, you know, you couldn't even really renting it out for somebody that is competing at Gulfstream throughout the year, but they don't, you know, they would rather have a stable year-round place themselves. So you're right. It doesn't make it. It's a tricky equation.
Yes. And they'd rather be at Gulfstream and not have to ship an hour and 20 minutes.
Exactly.
We'll
see how it plays out. In the meanwhile, your only concern is picking out some more babies and getting ready to take El Tormenta to the Breeders' Cup. And hope he's going to contest it, and look forward to seeing you out there, Gail. Couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. And you can follow Gail. Because I knew I had followed you on Twitter a while back, and so on Saturday I went and when I tweeted about the win, there it is. Cassie L. Cox.
It's at Castle Cox.
Cox. Yeah. Yeah. Are you? Well, you're not really doing much tweeting, but if people want to congratulate, you did say still excited. I see that.
I answered some tweets, and I think I tweeted something out. And, you know, social media can be a full time job.
Well, this is if you want to get a couple more, maybe a couple more clients. You know, maybe you want to up that headcount to 24, 26.
Yeah.
And there's the filly. There's the Munnings filly you bought.
Yeah, see? I tweeted. Oh,
she's sweet. Nice.
Yeah, pretty filly.
Very much. And she's got a nice frame. Looks like there's some growing to do. And she's good. Well done. Congratulations on everything, Gail. And look forward to seeing you at Santa Anita.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it, too.
Gail Cox and El Tormenta, a great, great story. Sam's son, who we just have just such respect, and as I mentioned about Tammy, and that was one of the really one of the treasures. I doubt we could find it. It goes way back on the show, but having Tammy Samuel Blas on the show years ago, and I mean she meant a lot to Canadian racing, and that was the one part of the day that was a little bittersweet. Let's take a break. I've got Dick Powell joining us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey,
now, back to At the Races with Steve Fick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 10 to top of the hour. Andy Sterling will join us after this visit with Dick Powell. And, in fact, if you haven't looked at the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday action in New York, quite good. You got the two New York bred baby races, the Bond Guard and the Jimma. And then there's quite a bit of other – I ended up printing out a lot more races than I expected. Some good maiden races, some good allowance races. And last night, a good stake race at Presque Isle Downs. We talked to Doug Salvatore. Got a nice visit in yesterday with Doug to preview it, and it really did come after the scratches. It did come down to Hotshot Anna and Talk Viv to me, and in fact, Dick Powell. That's pretty much how it all unfolded. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, I happened to be listening when Doug was talking, and he talked about the scratches, and two of them were Stone Cold Speed Horses. So,
yeah,
it certainly on paper would seem to have an effect, but it really didn't, because nothing was beating Hotshot Anna last night. The defending champion, she won this race last year by 4.25 in a little bit faster time, a much faster pace. Last night, the pace wasn't really that fast, and she was hung out four wide. So that's not an easy move to go around horses and still have a lot of energy. She collared, talked with to me, turning for home. They battled, and she just drew away to a length of the quarter victory as much the best and returned a surprising $4.20. I know people say I don't like favorites, I want value. Well, to me, 420 for that filly in that spot last night against those horses, that was value. I can't believe she wasn't 3-5 like she normally is. And she got it done. And I didn't hear any of you, Robinson, after the race. I know last year after you won the race, you said no Breeders' Cup. And I hope that's not the case this time, but she surely fits.
Agreed. And, you know, the word came as well that Marley's Freedom yesterday, the word came, I think Jay, I think it was Jay Pribman, had the piece that both Game Winner and Marley's Freedom are ruled out. Baffert had a bunch of works yesterday toward Cup, including McKenzie, but there really has not been a dominant, you know, if ever there was going to be a year, we talk about this, I wonder if we'll get suckered into it, the three-year-olds facing elders in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, and we'll see. This might be a year where a three-year-old filly gets a chance to beat the elders, but Hotshot Anna, you know, certainly a nice fit. I'm delighted for you, Robertson, who owns this filly. I mean, that's you know, mare now. She's older, and you're right about the, you know, the even almost 6-5, and after the scratches, you figured for sure she was going to go odds, that she'd go odds on. But anyway, the disappointment, I don't want to call it a disappointment per se, but I'm a big fan of late night powwow. You're not going to hold it against her. I mean, she was trying synthetic for the first time. She had never even tried turf. So I can understand, you know, the opportunity, and Javier Contreras taking the shot. But she sort of just, you know, went around.
She had a little bit of a trip there. She was in between horses, and then she got pinched.
Oh, she checked back. That's right. That's right. I forgot that. You're right. That's right. She was sort of like sitting, what, like maybe fifth, fourth? Right, behind horses, and she kind of checked out of it. That's a good point. So maybe you put a line through.
She didn't get the cleanest of trips. I didn't expect Hotshot Anna to be that far behind, but she was so settled early. And then it was just whoosh on the turn, and that acceleration on the turn is just sensational. She's won going seven. She won a grade three at Arlington on their synthetic surface, going seven and 120 and four last June of 18. So seven is not an issue, and the way she settles now is certainly not an issue. She does have speed if the rider wants to use it. And I was happy that one of the local riders gets to win the big pot last night. You know, the most lucrative race of our whole Prescott racing season, $400,000, and Antonio Gallardo was able to take it down. So it wasn't just the invading riders coming in. It was the local guy got the big money.
Well, that was a theme a little bit over the weekend, too, because up at Woodbine, I still have to get some of the other results in, but on Saturday, certainly with Starship Jubilee winning, and pretty much everybody in the Bold Venture was local. Stuart Simons, Yorkton, with that situation with Pink Lloyd busting the gate before it opened, and then Gail Cox, you know, turning him away, and De Silva. I mean, that was a big part of the day up there, too. The Masters, we'll see if it produces an important Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint starter. It's been really, honestly, Dick, I can't think of a race in the last whatever decade or so. I mean, obviously, the two-year-old turf division, which was, you know, largely created, but, you know, for an older race in the one of the, you know, not an original Breeders' Cup race, but this race, considering, you know, the age of Presque Isle, you know, this thing raced up to a grade two status and has been just so productive. It's a fascinating story.
Yes, it really has, and it's been probably on the cusp of going grade one. It certainly has the purse, certainly has the horses coming out of it and running extremely well, whether it's the Breeders' Cup or anywhere else. And I don't know what more you need to make it a great one, with Groupie Doll and Musical Romance and horses like that have come here. But Hotshot Anna looks primed. I looked up some. I don't have access to Bayou speed figures, but I can get access to Brisk speed figures. When Amy's Mesa won this race in a little bit faster time and then went on and just missed winning the Breeders' Cup, she ran a 95 at Presque Isle and then ran a 102 at Del Mar, I think it was. Yes. And then last night, Hotshot Anna ran a 95, and she's had a bunch of 95s on her program. She does have that 101 going 7 furlongs. So she ran the same Brisk speed rating that Amy's Mesa did before Amy's Mesa went to dirt and ran so well. And Hotshot Anna is 9 starts on dirt, 3 wins in 4 seconds. So she basically can run on anything, dirt, turf, synthetic. And then the question is, she's never been on an off track, but hopefully Santa Anita, early November, will not be having any rain. So if she goes, I think she fits.
Yeah. You mentioned Amy's Mesa, but it was Barra Gold who was second to her that day, and you know then turns around and beats her. You know, beats her the tightest nose, one of the tightest finishes in Breeders' Cup memory. It's amazing.
I don't know if I'll get over that one.
Oh, well, I was the same way. I needed Amy's Mesa badly. It was okay for the bankroll because. I've told this story too. Gabby Gaudette and I were standing at the gap and we were talking. I said, "Who do you like?" And she said, "Well, she had picked the other Broman filly." And said, "But look at Barra Gold." She goes, "She looks unbelievable." So we both put little wind savers on her, you know, just because she just looked so good on track leading in. So I cashed, but I would have done much better, I think, overall in the multis with Amy's Mesa if she had won. But anyway, the Masters is just so, it's just fascinating to me going back to Bill Kaplan and Musical Romance and Informed Decision and unbelievable. You mentioned Groupie. Of course, we talked to Buff Bradley yesterday. It's just placed right on the calendar. I mean, everything sort of coalesced for the Masters. Dick, let's get a couple of ideas for tonight before we go.
Well, tonight... we're going to go to race number 5. The Jock race was tight as could be, and then Gallardo won 4 last night, so he's now 5 ahead of Pablo Morales. Race 5 is going to be a maiden 25. I like number 1, Straight Out of Dutton. Showed high-speed career debut before weakening. Came back against the same group, and amazingly went off just about the same price, almost 12-1. Same race, opened up a big lead, got caught a length. Comes back from the rail, going 6. I don't know. Freshened up a little bit. Nice 5-furlong breeze coming in. I think she'll stay with David Delgado back aboard. So race number 5, number 1, Straight Out of Dutton. And the other one tonight will be in race number 7. We'll go with number 2, Hurricane Highway. Larry Rivelli, who won last night, scratched the filly out of the Masters. Rivelli's been coming into Presque Isle and horses are live as could be, and he's having a sensational year. This one has won at Arlington, was 3rd at Presque Isle against a high-class allowance race, came back to Arlington, won again, going a mile, now shows back at Presque Isle, optional 50, now known as a 1, going 6 furlongs from the inside. And one of my favorite riders of all time, Jose Valdivia Jr., is back in the iron. So that's number 2, Hurricane Highway in race number 7.
Excellent. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
One quick point. You were talking about Woodbine. In the Summer Stakes on Sunday, Teresa Connolly shoved up Cadet Connolly at 109-1.
I mentioned it
yesterday. Almost took them gate to wire, paid some outrageous place price, $55, I think. And she... he trains at Presque Isle, has raced at Colonial on the turf, it's been kind of all over the East Coast, but this is the Prescott horse that went up there and almost pulled off the shocker at 109-1.
I mentioned yesterday when I went kind of surveying the some of the results, and I said, Teresa Conley jumped off the page as a Presque Isle. I kind of tied it together with the preview of yesterday, and that's a very nice, to get a grade one placing like that, it goes a long way.
That was big. Good for her.
Dick, we'll talk Thursday. I appreciate it. Dick Powell, everybody, and Presque Isle Downs. The big race. They back-to-back weeks, the mile last week and the Masters. And they got about three weeks left after this. They've had a good meet, and it was fun to talk yesterday, too, with Doug Salvatore, who got his Browns win as well. Let's take a break. Andy Serling, when we come back a little bit later, Marshall Graham is going to join us. I got Pete Fornatale a day early. Pete with some of the Woodbine contest excitement that came down to a absolute photo with Tommy Masses and Paul Sherman. We'll talk about that as well. I've got probably John White later on, too, and Bill Downs, Indiana. Lots to do. Stay with us.